Blog Talk Radio.
Live on the EYC Radio Network. How are you, everybody? This is Minister Darren Chapman bringing you another broadcast about relationships, Christian relationships tonight. So we are glad to be here. This is a heated one for a lot of folks because, you know, it's not a pleasant topic to talk about, number one, because it brings back a lot of pain for some people, a lot of unpleasant memories, and a lot of people are still affected through divorce regarding their personal lives. Even their Christian walk may be suffering because of things that they have not gotten over during the time of their separation and divorce. So we are going to talk about this, but we're going to try to be gentle about the words that we use tonight and so on, because we don't want to, you know, open up a ticking time bomb if someone out there is listening and they're ready to diffuse at the slightest thing that they hear over this broadcast tonight. So we're going to be careful about what we say. I'm going to go to Facebook, too, and I'm going to pick up on a couple comments that were noted on that were electronically noted on the broadcast on the event page for tonight's broadcast. So we're going to read a couple of those, and if you want to call in, you can certainly do so. I'm going to give out the number as well. So we're here tonight talking about does abuse mean divorce? Okay, and I'm going to read the address in a minute. But for those of you who are tuning in, you're listening to the Ministry of Love at the Root, sponsored by EYIC. That's the acronym for Equally Yoked in Christ Incorporated, the Christian nonprofit dedicated and also designated to Christian relationships, biblical education, kingdom building, and ministry networking. So we once again thank you for showing up. We try to have these broadcasts on every week. We've been on, I've been teaching on Christian relationships for a little over three and a half years now, something like that, somewhere around there, with over 200 broadcasts close to two hour broadcast on Christian relationships for singles, married, divorce, so on, relationships, many different topics, love, communication, trust, sex, raising children, roles of husband and wife, and so on. And if you want to tap into, my recommendation is that you tap into that link. And if you don't know where it's at, you can't find it on the internet, reach out to me, inbox me, and I'll send it to you. So many questions are asked regarding relationships. and, you know, we just don't have, like, the time to, like, really get into it. I mean, we can have the time if we make the time, but, you know, on the internet, folks like to pop up and say, well, what's this about, and what's that about, and give me this, I'm talking about this topic, and give me that, and give me this, and I want to know, understand this, you know, and they want it quick, right? Because this world we live in is a quick world, right? Everything's quick. Well, that's not the case here. All right, so when you tune into this broadcast, we want to bring out, obviously we're going to bring out scripture. But this is a teaching ministry, so we want to be able to teach, and even if we just leave off with one seed of understanding, of truth, then God bless you. It's one more seed that you didn't know before you tuned in. So now you can add that to the rest of your seeds of truth. All right, and sometimes it only takes a little seed to turn people's lives around to something that they were blind for. There's a lot of people out here walking around that were divorced, and they got divorced for specific reasons that were not biblical reasons, but because of the situation, because of their circumstances, because of the hurt and pain that they were going through that was so overwhelming that, you know, a lot of people kind of like, they then, when you get to that point, you start reading in, especially if, you know, if you start reading things into to how you want it to look according to your situation and according to the hurt and the pain that you're going through. And when you're talking about the Word of God, that is not how we are supposed to interpret and decipher the Word of God. So, we should never let our emotions and our circumstances stand in the way of interpreting Scripture correctly. And you say, well, Darren, that's hard, and I understand it's hard. And, you know, I've been hurt like many other people have been hurt. Some people have been hurt a little. Some people have been hurt a lot. I don't weigh it on a scale. Hurt is hurt. But it's still no excuse before the God in heaven to take his word and twist it just because of the hurt. That's still no excuse. Some people may say, well, I don't agree with you. That's a cruel thing to say. Well, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be people out here in the world. And when I say people, let me, I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. I'm talking about genuine. I'm not talking about false prophets and wannabes. I'm talking about genuine folk, Christian folk, brothers and sisters of Jesus. They're going to heaven, okay? But down here on earth, because they may have gone through a tragic divorce, a tragic, you know, separation, their whole thing is that they just won't see the truth of what we're talking about tonight on this side of heaven. And they're going to be judged for it when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? That's just the way it is. I don't know how else I can cut this pie so it could taste good, you know, as far as the truth, not to taste good because, you know, you want rosy cheeks. So the reality is that, you know, when we come up with these topics like a gay marriage and reasons for divorce and, you know, and trust issues, and when we come up with these are real, like, heart, home hitting to your heart topics, right? And we get a lot of controversy, right? So for those of you who are tapped in now, and I see people, you know, on the radio board and we're going to open up the chat room is open for those of you who want to pose a question. Now, understand this. As we talk about this tonight, you have to come to Scripture with no preconceptions. You have to come to Scripture and see the text for what the text is. And it's not just seeing the text for what the text is, but you have to make sure that you're in the right time. Okay, you know, there's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. There's Israel and then there's the church. Okay, so you have to understand what dispensation that you're in. You got to understand. So it's a lot of things that, you know, you just can't pick one line out and say, well, this is it. You know, this is what I'm going to stand on. And, you know, it has to add up with all the other lines and passages that talk about the same topic throughout the 66 books. Because God does not contradict himself, right? And Jesus didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill the law, right? So the law still applies, but there is freedom now. You know, there's an enhancement of it. You know, there's a fulfillment of it. So we just can't, you know, because I know folks are ready to come in the Old Testament, pull out Old Testament, and say, this is what it is regarding divorce and abuse. But you can't do that. See, because you got something called the N.T., which is the New Testament. And you can't ignore what God says about divorce and abuse in the New Testament. And you can't ignore what is spoken in the Word of God regarding tonight's topic when it's spoken to the church. Okay? Now, it could have been spoken in the Old Testament to Israel, but we are not Israel. We are the church, okay? And there may be a lot of people just don't know that. And because people just don't know that, they're going to start out the gate wrong and trying to understand a little bit about abuse and divorce and, you know, what we're talking about tonight. So I try to paint things very clearly and very practical, in a way, whereas though those who can understand, then God bless you, because there are many who just won't get it. Again, they won't get it because they don't know how to come to the text correctly. They won't get it because they're still holding hurt and revenge and bitterness and all of these ugly other characteristics and things. They're still holding these things in their heart, and they can't, when they come to the text, they're not going to get it. They come to the text because of what their family, you know, they see their parents and grandparents or uncles or their families, their family members going down history that may have a generational curse, so to speak. You know, my parents got divorced, my parents' parents got divorced, going down the tree. Everybody got divorced, and this is how it's going to wind up with me too. I expect it, and you know, so you can't go into the text and find freedom in the text and truth in the text with these things hanging over your shoulder. You can't do it. You have to come to the text with no preconceptions. You have to come to the text with no eisegesis. You have to exegete the scriptures. You have to read the scriptures for what it is in the time that it's applied to the people that it's applied to, the situation that it's applied to. You know, so there's a couple things that you have to put in play here. And a lot of folk on Facebook don't want to do this. Okay, yes, I'm putting you out there. Okay, I'm sick of it. Okay, it just amazes me how many people call themselves Christians on Facebook. And they just come out with the wildest stuff. And it's like, there's no way in the world you could just read some of this stuff. And I'm going to read some of these comments too. Okay. And you could say to yourself, my goodness, this person can't be saved. This person can't be a Christian. And you know what? Probably not, but some of them probably are, but they're just so twisted in the understanding of this topic tonight. And then they're convincing other saints to believe, the stuff they're putting out there. And it's just like the whole body is like split. You got half that know, half that don't know. You got a quarter that know. You got three quarters that don't know. You got three quarters that do know, a quarter who don't know. It's like a football game. What quarter is it? Is it the first, second, third, or fourth quarter in the body? So this is how we're going to start this tonight, all right? So here's the number. If you want to call in, get your calls in early, because folks like to call in, within the last half hour of the broadcast, and then they want to talk for, talk forever. And, so if you want to get your say-so in, get it in now while folks are still coming into the broadcast. The number is 949-272-9514. Now, let me warn you, and I don't give out too many warnings on these broadcasts, but for folks who are itching to say what they have to say, let me warn you, okay, because we're not going to turn this broadcast into a dumping ground for people to prove their point and not God's point, okay? In order for you to prove God's point, there has to be some of the things that I talked about that comes into play. Okay, you have to know the right audience. You have to know the right dispensation. You have to know the right word and how to, you know. So there's some exergy that has to be applied. If you can't do that, okay, you can call in and give your testimony of how you got through it. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, you know, Darren, I did this and I did that, and that helped me get through the bad times. You know, if you want to call and give a testimony, we are heartful about that. Sure, you can call and give a testimony. But if you want to call in and you're sure from a biblical foundation of why abuse and divorce is this way or that way, and we're going to get into it, then understand that I know, and I'm not saying that out of pride, but I know how to approach this topic according to the text. Okay, this is not the first time I've done this. Okay, and somebody will say, well, Darren, you could have done it 1,000 times and still be wrong 1,000 times. Well, you know, we're not going to go down that block. We speak the truth regarding topics, regarding relationships in this broadcast sponsored by this ministry. And if you know better, then you'll know it's the truth. If not, then you're going to see that it's not in your eyes and you're going to go on down the block elsewhere. We pray that you stay and that you swallow the truth of what you're going to hear regarding abuse and divorce tonight if you've never heard it. Okay? What I'm going to be saying, you can read yourself. It's not hidden. It's in the Bible. Okay? Some of the things I'm going to be saying from the Bible do not need interpretation. It is flat out, plain, point blank, dead is. There's no interpretation needed. So we don't have to rewrite what God has already wrote. Okay? So, you know, so some of these things are just plain. And we just need to believe the word. That's it. Just need to believe it. Okay? All right, so the number is 949-272-9514 if you want to call in. Now's the time if you want to give a testimony or to say anything you want to say about tonight's topic. So here it is. Does abuse mean divorce? Now, understand these different areas of living, okay? Understand these different areas of living. Is physical, emotional, psychological, intellectual, or financial abuse a reason for Christian divorce? If my mate is abusing me, if my spouse is abusing me, I'm sorry I said mate because we're only talking about a spouse in this. We're only talking about spouses in this broadcast. We're not talking about dating according. We're talking about divorce. So obviously, we're talking about marriage. We're talking about spouses. So if my spouse is abusing me physically, if my spouse is abusing me emotionally, if my spouse is abusing me psychologically, if my spouse is abusing me intellectually, if my spouse is abusing me financially, is that a reason for divorce? If it is, what is the scriptural reference? Now, there are going to be people who are going to say, you know what? They're going to skip and dance all around the scriptural reference part. There's going to be Christians, married Christians. They're going to skip and dance all around that. The only thing they're going to stay on is they're hurt, they're hurt, they're hurt. I didn't do it. They're hurt, they're hurt, they're hurt. I didn't do it. And they're going to dance that tune until just, you know, they expect people to jump up and say amen. With no scriptural reference. And that's not how we want to approach this. And that's not how you want to approach your marriage or what is going on in your marriage, these things that are going on in your marriage, any or all of these things. So if it is, what is the scriptural reference? If it's not, what is the scriptural reference again? If physical, emotional, psychological, intellectual, or financial abuse is not a reason for two Christians divorcing, then what is the scriptural reference then for that? And then what should the person who's being abused do to escape? and remedy the relationship. All right. Okay. We are going to take just a little break right now. And we're going to we're going to take about a 5-minute commercial break, and then we're going to go to Facebook, and then we're going to read a couple comments, some way out comments on Facebook, and then those of you who want to call in to give your 2 cents about what you know. I'm not putting people out on Front Street. People put themselves out on Front Street. I'm just reading what they're saying. Okay, so if you want to call in and give a little feedback, you can. So we will be back in about 5:27 after the commercial break.
Tim in San Diego, California writes in to ask this: Pastor John, do you believe there's a difference between a Christian rap artist and a rap artist who is a Christian? And do you believe that an artist who is a Christian needs to include the gospel into every song that they make?
Well, let's start with that last question, because I think answering that one probably winds up addressing the concerns in the first one, which aren't as easy to answer because the terms aren't clear. But this one is, does the gospel need to be in every song? And if you mean the full enough doctrinal statement of the gospel that the listener would have a reasonable understanding of the gospel and know how to come to Christ, the answer is no. And I say that because Paul accused Peter in Galatians 2 of a kind of behavior that was not in step with the gospel. So there is the gospel, and there's life in step with the gospel. There's the gospel, and there's rap in step with the gospel. There's the gospel, and there's music in step with the gospel. There's the gospel, and there's advertising for your music group in step with the gospel. There's the gospel, and there's the clothing and the attitudes and the tone that's in step with the gospel. So it's a more biblical test for a rap song to ask, is the message, the tone, the aim, the origin, the spirit in step with the gospel, rather than does it contain the 4 or 5 or 6 points or steps of the gospel? If you tried to put a summary of the gospel in every song, it would start to sound stilted. It would be like saying every chapter in the New Testament has to begin the way 1 Corinthians 15 begins. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. You can't begin, Paul doesn't begin every chapter with that. He expects that what he writes in that chapter will be in step with that, will unpack that, will apply that, but he doesn't feel the need to begin every chapter with that. So I think it should be with songs that Christians sing. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, he did not mean that Christ crucified is mentioned in every chapter of his letters. When he said Galatians 6:14, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus, he did not mean you can't exult in other things like the gifts of Christ or the people of Christ or the work of the saints of God in Christ. He meant, I think, in both those passages, he meant that everything he said, everything he did, everything he sang would be aware. I decided to know. I decided to know nothing. He would be aware that the good in everything and the way everything bad is turned for good was bought for him by Jesus Christ. Anything good that he experiences was bought for him by Jesus. Apart from Christ crucified, he would be hellbound and everything would be taking him there. But now, because of Christ, everything is working for his good and God's glory in his life. That's what he always boasts in, that's true in every situation. So it shouldn't take too long in listening to a Christian artist like that to know if he or she is blown away by the grace of God in the cross of Christ. Their whole ministry should be pointing to the cross of Christ. You can call this person a Christian rap artist or a rap artist who is a Christian. I don't think that matters. Doesn't matter to me anyway. What matters is every song in step with the gospel? Is the artist exulting at every moment in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ in his heart? And are the words shaped by that, rooted in that, pointing to that in one way or the other, so that the entire corpus of the artist's work is going to point to Jesus and Jesus crucified?
Thank you, Pastor John. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Email all your hip-hop questions to us at AskPastorJohn@DesiringGod.org. You can visit us online at DesiringGod.org to find thousands of books and articles, sermons, and other resources from John Piper, all free of charge. I'm your host, Tony Ranke. Thanks for listening.
All right, so that was John Piper. A lot of you may know him. I would say many people would probably say he's a well-known pastor. John Piper. Talking about Christian rap, right? All right, we're back again on the Ministry of Love at the Root on Facebook here, talking about tonight's broadcast. Does abuse mean divorce? I am Minister Darren Chapman, Christian, son of Jesus Christ, child of the King, many different titles, right? Priest, right? Of the priesthood, right? The church, the living church, right? Amen. Is physical, emotional, psychological, intellectual, or financial abuse a reason for Christian divorce? If it is, what is the scriptural reference? If not, what is the scriptural reference? And then what should be, or what should the person who's being abused do to escape and remedy? So if you're talking about divorce in the Bible, the first thing we want to keep in mind is Malachi 2:16, where it talks about God, the Lord God, saying that, you know, he's saying here that divorce, period, right? Now, whatever the grounds may be for, you know, going down the road towards divorce, that doesn't necessarily mean that God desires a divorce to occur. Right? So, for those of you who are asking the question or have asked the question of, my spouse did this or my spouse did that to me, or my spouse did this to me, and I want to know, can I divorce because of that? You know, what does the Bible say regarding, you know, the rules against that? You know, what are the grounds for that? For those of you who are asking that question, then you may want to think of a greater question, because that is not the greatest question or the greater question. It may be a great question to you because you are the victim. But because you are the victim does not mean that it is the best or the greatest or the greater question. Okay? The point, or should I say, coming to the answer in this, we want God's word to do a couple things, a couple different things here. We want God's word not only to just, we want to end up in where truth speaks about abuse and divorce, but we also want to be consoled by the Word of God. We want the Word of God to hold us through our hurt and through our pain, and to wipe our tears and to comfort us. And the Word of God does that, right? But don't let your emotions take over so much that you still can't see the bigger picture. Okay. The question is not what is the grounds for my spouse doing this or that. The question should be, is whatever the grounds, is this or that the grounds for forgiveness and counseling and restoration? That's the greater question. The question is not what is this or that or the other thing, which may be grounds because of what my spouse did to me for divorce. That is not the question. The greater question is this, that, or the other thing of what my spouse did to me, is that grounds for restoration and counseling and forgiveness? That's the greater question. Are there any grounds for divorce? We don't want to presume, because it's very dangerous to go past what the Bible says. And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 for that. We don't want to go past what the Bible says regarding abuse and divorce. So people, when they're talking about abuse and divorce, they, you know, the very first thing we hear that they talk about is what? Things that we just mentioned, physical, emotional. Some go as far as say, well, you know, we're married and you abuse my children, so that's ground for divorce. We're married and you're addicted to pornography or drugs, or, you know, you're still selling drugs. You still, you know, you got saved, but you're still out there selling drugs from time to time, and that's grounds for divorce, because I'm tired of coming to the jail cell paying your bail. And you're my husband or you're my wife. And how about not doing the right thing with finances? Gambling. You know, we're supposed to be paying, you know, well, I come home and the lights are out. We don't have no water. Can't take a shower, can't drink the water. How are we supposed to cook for the kids to eat, for us to eat? And how are we supposed to see the lights is out and you didn't gamble all our money in the casino? You're playing the scratch-off tickets. $700 scratch-off tickets, $1,000 scratch-off tickets. Now we can't pay the mortgage and we're facing eviction. And you know, when it get down to that road, you need a lawyer to help you get out that situation, and it costs money to pay a lawyer. If you don't have money to pay, you don't blew all your money to pay your bills, how you have money to pay a lawyer? So now, folks, somebody has gotten to the end of their ropes with that, and now they're saying, I want a divorce. Question still remains. What are the biblical grounds for divorce? All right, so let's go on over to Facebook. Let's read what a couple people had to say about this on Facebook. If you want to call in, the number is 215. I'm sorry, 215. I'm in Philadelphia, right? We're in the 215. The number is 949-272-9514. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 949-272-9514. Let's go on over to Facebook. All right. So here we have, and this is on the event page, so you can see this yourself, okay? This is Jarek Jefferson, okay? And once again, I don't have to put folks out on Front Street because they put themselves out on Front Street. I don't have to turn people into a fool. People turn themselves into a fool as soon as they open up their mouth. Okay, so don't think that I'm, you know, well, Darren's out there, he's calling people out. No, these people don't call themselves out. I'm just reading what they wrote. Okay, so on the event page, we have, Jarek Jefferson, right? So he writes, the leading cause. Now, if you can't read this, listen to what I'm about to say. Okay? The leading cause of divorce, this is what he writes, the leading cause of divorce is marriage. This is what this man has written. Jarek Jefferson, if you go to his Facebook page, right? This guy is in this, you know, like you graduate college, or, you know, you wear the cap and gown. So he's like in this gown. I don't know whether it's a clergy gown or what, you know. But, you know, he has associations with other ministries on his Facebook page and so on, right? So he's looking real studious, like he's in a white shirt with a tie and this kind of like educational gown, right? Clergy gown, graduation gown, right? On his Facebook page, it says that he studied theology, right? So we all know what theology is, right? Okay. So he studied theology. And he studied theology at Harvard University. Harvard. He studied theology, the study of God, at Harvard University. And this man posted on the Facebook event page for tonight's broadcast, came out of his mouth and said, the leading cause of divorce is marriage. Now, I'm not going to play into his words, because a man who studied theology from Harvard should know better than to leave an open-ended statement like that for people to wonder about what he's saying. He has to be smarter than that, okay? So either he's trying to bait us into what he's trying to say because there's some alternative definition there, or he's really just that stupid. Yes, I said it. He's really just that stupid. This is the type of stuff that goes on Facebook. And this is the type of stuff where people follow guys like this guy right here. I'm not saying people are following him, but you know, I'm saying there's people like this all over Facebook that have tens of hundreds of even maybe even thousands of followers. And you wonder why relationships are messed up, right? And you can't blame it all on him, because we have to take account for our own actions, right? Michelle, Marchette, which is a sister that I know, she comes back and she puts a little Kermit the Frog up there. She says, what? All right, Jenna. So, and then I post, and I say, hey, I say, hi, Jared. You know, here I come. And can I ask you what church denomination you belong to? Because if somebody puts something like that up there, I want to know, like, who they're sitting up under. Like, you know, what denomination they belong to, you know, what's their background, you know, I want to know, you know, have they confessed Jesus, you know, I want to know what book they read, you know, these are the type of questions I have, because this statement is so far off, it's just like, you know, it's, I have no choice, I have to find a point somewhere, okay, all right, so this is a theologian scholar from Harvard University, Jared Jefferson, saying that the leading cause of divorce is marriage. Okay, so then we go to, here we go. So here we go to this next person. Her name is Marlene Tiora, and if Marlene, if you're listening, forgive me if I pronounce your last name incorrectly. Now, Marlene Tiora is, if you go to her Facebook page, right? She is an addiction specialist, pastoral counselor, right? An addiction specialist and pastoral counselor, right? She studies alcohol and other drugs. And here it is, okay? An addiction specialist and pastoral counselor. Counselor, right? Here's what she writes. She writes, many say that the Bible is silent when it comes to spousal abuse and divorce. Perhaps many theologians or scholars have not seen the stories in the TNKH Old Testament where God hates injustice and abuse. For Christian brethren who decide to stay in an abusive relationship without the perpetrator and victim undergoing psychotherapy, deliverance, and consequences for his or her crime, I would have to call this mental constipation. People can change if they want to. Many live and die in their own vomit without ever seeking help. We must obey the laws of the land, beloved. Should you divorce? Absolutely. We are in the 21st century, not first, meaning I assume she's trying to say not first century. Abuse in families, beating of a spouse or children is desecrating the name of our Lord. Yeah, and I should not, and it should not be. I do believe that if both parties are willing to get help and undergo intensive marriage counseling, so I guess this is the counselor part of her, I guess, that's coming out right now. I do believe that if both parties are willing to get help and undergo intensive marriage counseling, the marriage could be salvaged. I'm assuming she meant to say salvaged. No one deserves to be married to a monster, and I agree with that. Be wise, and I agree with that. And let the R-U-A-C-H or Y-A-H deal with the A-B-U-S-E-R, abuser, okay? This is why we have laws of the land. Doctor, now here we go. Now, we just had a Harvard I just read you a Harvard scholar on theology, right? Now we have Dr. Tiora. Okay. Dr. Tiora. Okay. So here goes the back and forth. And I'm only going to allow this to go but for so long. So I'm saying to her, I said, okay, well, you know, Marlene, where's the scriptural reference for what you're trying to say? Okay. So then she's like, okay, absolutely. Would I stay with a man who is belittling me, verbally punishing me for his low self-esteem? Why? If I could read your Bible in Hebrew instead of the transliteration errors found in it, you would understand. First of all, well, let me read the rest. Hashem, H-A-S-H-E-M, does not condone abuse. Till this day, studies in sociology in the Middle East teaches that a woman should not, that a woman should have no say-so. Muslims continue to beat women to death. Should a woman stay? No, run for your life. Okay, so let's stop here for a second. Let's pick this apart, because why am I doing this? Because these are the type of people that are on the internet leading people astray, leading people to their own wisdom, to their own understanding, to their own mindset, playing on their emotions, playing on their hurt, and they're leading them not into an equally yoked relationship where they can understand an equally yoked relationship, but they're leading them further and further into divide. And when you lead further and further into divide, you're going to set yourself up for greater bitterness, for racism, even against your own people, because we're always talking about racism against another color, right? Well, there's a whole lot of racists in your own race, against your own race, okay? So and this is bad. This is going to come out of this, right? So here we go. Now, she says, if you could read your Bible in Hebrew. Now, that should tip you off right there that she's coming from the Old Testament. Generally, that should tip you off. Okay, generally. I'm not saying that's universal, but generally. Because she says, if you can read your Bible in Hebrew instead of the transliteration, errors found in it, you would understand. Okay, so here we go. This is the tip-off right here. There is no errors in the Bible. Because if there were errors in the Bible, that means there's errors in God's Word, and that means there will be errors from the author who wrote God's Word, which is God, and God does not have no error. So do you see how this ties together? Okay, so this is all her own words. You can read this yourself. Okay, so then she goes on and she says, to this day, studies in sociology in the Middle East. So now she's not going towards Scripture to make her case. She's going towards the wisdom of men. She's going towards historical wisdom, historical academics. She's saying the studies in sociology, what does sociology have to do with anything when you're trying to prove a point from a biblical fact or foundation? studies in sociology in the Middle East. So now she's not adapting Christian thinking or mindset. She's adapting Middle East mindset. She's adapting sociology, which is man's wisdom. She's adapting the Old Testament Hebrew law, transliteration. She's and because all of this got her so mixed up that she confesses that she believes that there's errors in Scripture. But yet she's an addiction specialist, pastoral counselor, who goes by the name of Dr. Tiora. So now my question is, how many people on her friends list who are in clergy are following her words because she has them in the so-called newspaper? She has the nerve to talk about clergy and the occult. And everything she's talking about right here is nothing but an occult, because it's not the truth. It's not the biblical truth, which I'm about to bring out in a couple minutes. And then you're going to hear the comparison. Okay? She used a lot of big words of Middle East and sociology, transliteration. She used a lot of big words, and that stuff is glamorous, right? It's captured you, right? Because you want to know, you know, what it is. Oh, that sounds good, so it must be right. I normally don't pick apart. If this is your first time listening to this broadcast, I normally don't pick apart people's comments on Facebook, but every now and then, when something is so outrageous like these two that I'm reading, I have to pick it apart. It's not my will or my desire to come on to the broadcast to bash anyone. This is a teaching ministry. But I have to show from time to time the extreme contrast into what the truth is that you're going to hear from the Holy Bible and what some of these people online, you know, that have these graduating from Harvard, have doctor behind their name, and they, you know, have these clergy titles, and they are so far off, and people are following them. And so the question is, are we supposed to follow the church, or are we supposed to follow Jesus? Because Jesus is without sin and error. The church has sin and error, no matter how much they want to follow Jesus. So are you going to follow someone who is perfect and errorless and error-free, or are you going to follow someone who has error? And I'm not saying all Christians have error. That's not what I'm trying to say. But if you put it in light of so-called Dr. Tiora and you know, this other guy, Jared Jefferson from Harvard Theology dude or wherever he is, people who don't know any better, hundreds of people, thousands of people who don't know any better, they get caught up with people like this. And thank God for this ministry right here, the Love of the Root, Equally Yoked in Christ Incorporated. Thank for the nonprofit that sponsors this broadcast. Thank God that we have a ministry online right now on Facebook that's able to say, hey, look at both of these ends here. We don't come on here using fancy words. She's not the only one. Let me tell you something. This guy graduated Harvard, and this doctor, they're not the only ones to graduate school. I came out of graduating theology school myself, but I'm not coming here on these broadcasts, not for the last 3.5 years, over 200 broadcast archives on Christian relationships. I'm never coming on here saying I'm doctor this or I'm grad. You know, we're proud about our education and how much we're learning and so on, but these people are on a platform of lies. People are on a platform of confusion. And then they say, well, here's my education. If I'm going to come to these broadcasts, and I'm talking about myself, I'm going to come on a platform of God's word and may not say anything to you about my education at all. Because at before, in the middle, and at the end of the broadcast, just like each and every one of our days, is Jesus in the front, in the middle, and in the back. And the end of the day, the middle of the day, and beginning and middle and at the end of the day. Okay, so let's go on over to the Word. Now, I'm going to make this point. I'm going to make this so simple that after I say this, we have literally, another hour and 10 minutes of this broadcast, right? After I say this, I can literally end the broadcast right here. There's nothing else to say, okay? So I'm going to give out the number again if you want to call in. There's no more bickering and back and forth. And once I say this, and it's coming right out of the Word, there is no interpretation for this. There's nothing else to say. It's almost like, a 3 or 4 year old child can understand it? Almost. There's nothing to interpret. Here it is. It's the answer. Okay? We don't need to talk about it for another hour and 10 minutes. We really don't. And when this broadcast is over, just like many of the other ones, I don't put all of them online, but this one I'm going to put back on the recording back on Facebook for those who are not joining live right now, and they can listen to the archive. The Bible gives two clear grounds for divorce. Two. You start from Genesis, and you go all the way to Revelation. The Bible gives two. You know, you put your fingers up, 1, 2. The Bible gives two grounds for divorce. The addressment for tonight's broadcast is physical, emotional, psychological, intellectual, or financial abuse a reason for Christian divorce. Obviously, that's more than two reasons, right? The Bible gives two reasons for divorce. Well, Darren, I understand that, but there is no but. The Bible gives two reasons for divorce. Darren, you don't know what I went through. I understand. I got sympathy. I got heart. I hope you never do again. I hope you're healed. Matter of fact, I wish you were healed last week, but that does not God's word, doesn't mean what it means. Well, Darren, he almost killed me. I understand. No, you don't. You weren't in the hospital room. You weren't laid out and family tore up and finances lost and time lost, and because of we couldn't go to work. We had to we had to look after each other, and it may have been someone who held the house up, like they they have not like back in the day, we still have it now. But I don't see people talk about it a lot. But, when I was growing up, we used to have that one person people say used to hold the family together. Used to be like the grandmother or maybe the mother or the father, whoever was in the household. And then when they passed, it was like, the whole household just crumbled and went apart. Nobody stayed together. We didn't do family reunions no more, cookouts no more. And, it's just that one person like glue, I understand. Darren, that I'm talking about that one person. And now because of abuse that person had to deal with, and now the whole family is falling apart, and we can't get it back. I understand that. Cold-hearted, no, I'm not. What I am is a man of God that has this topic in perspective, even if it happened to me. And this is why I always tell people over and over and over again online, you people have heard me say this time and time and shout it time and time again. I don't know who's listening, but I'm going to keep shouting it time over time and time again. Know who you marry. The Bible doesn't say what the who the pastor brings together, who your best friend brings together, who the, your girlfriend on the job brings together, who that this weekend night party you went to and your neighbor brought together. The Bible doesn't say who you bring together. The Bible doesn't say who you. Well, it's arranged marriage, Darren. I understand that, but the Bible says that God brings together man and woman. What does that mean? That means you shouldn't be getting married unless you hear from God. That's what that means. Otherwise, you're leaving it up to your own judgment, your own wisdom, your own, just shoot, just roll the dice, and if it comes out triple, whatever, then let's go for it. Because if you think about it, if you can believe, and I'm going to get back to these two reasons in a second. Think about it. If you can believe that God is supposed to give you direction regarding your healing, like your spiritual healing and your physical healing and your financial healing and help you find that good job and help you overcome, you know, hard times, and you listen for him, right? For those things, for that direction, right? Right? Then why can't you listen for him regarding direction on who you're supposed to marry? Oh, well, Darren, this is too long. I can't wait that long. Okay? If you can't wait that long, then you're going to go out and make a decision that God has not confirmed. And then you're going to run right smack into asking yourself some of the questions that we have asked tonight in this broadcast. Or you're going to live in the abuse, one or the other. You're either going to divorce for the wrong reason, or you're going to live in the actual abuse for the rest of your life. There's no shades of gray. It's left or right. There's no middle ground. My whole thing is you don't have to do neither one. You really don't. Because here's the answer. Number one is sexual immorality, Matthew 5:32 and 19:9. The second one is abandonment by an unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 7:15. Those are the two. That's it. If your spouse did not commit an act of sexual immorality in your marriage, or your spouse, who was an unbeliever, did not abandon that marriage, there's no reason, there's no biblical ground for divorce. Okay, now I hear people saying, well, you know what, Darren, that may be true. Well, it's not maybe, it is true. I just gave you the scripture, you can read it for yourself. It's not my word. I gave you the scripture, I gave you the verse, you can read it for yourself. Now, if you thought that you had it on me, the messenger, I'm taking it off of me. Now you have to buckle up and decide whether you want to believe God's word or not. Open up your Bible, you go to verse, you read it yourself. Those are the two reasons. There are only two. You have to, so now you can't say, well, Darren, no, there is no more Darren. You have to face God now with those two verses and say, do I believe your word or do I not? Because, you know, people want to use the messenger as a scapegoat, and they want to use, you know, other people as a scapegoat. You know, people have a hard time looking upon themselves, right? Okay, so once you get scripture, now the scripture's out there. Now scripture is saying to you, stop looking at Darren. Stop looking at the other person. Stop looking at the person who's abusing you, your spouse. Stop looking at everybody in the world. I want you to look at you. And you tell, this is what scripture is talking. These two verses may be saying to you right now. Stop looking at everybody else, including the person who is hurting you. I want you to start looking at you. Is one of these two situations going on? Because I have given no other way for divorce other than these two. God is talking. This is his word. So now the word is saying to you, is one of these two things going on? Because if not, you shouldn't even be contemplating divorce. It shouldn't even be in your mind. Now, let's take it that you are with that. You with all that. I'm with it. I'm believing it. Okay? But I'm still in it. I'm still in this abuse. Okay? So now here's where we can, and I don't want to take the broadcast off track, and you can search this out for yourself, but personally I believe that if it's not, if obviously, we can go off the table with these two, okay? Neither one of these two things is going on in your relationship, in your marriage right now. So so divorce is not even in the question, okay? So it's not even in the matrix. So now, what do we need to be talking about? Well, personally, I believe, now, I'm saying personally, I'm not giving scripture on this, okay? I'm pretty sure I could find it, but I'm focusing on, I've come to the point of answering the question of this broadcast. Okay, so where I'm about to go now is actually technically talking about what could be another broadcast teaching. But this is where, if I had a part two to this broadcast, this is where I would extend it, okay? And then I would bring scripture and research, and we would all come back together and talk about that. But this is where I believe it should go. I believe that whoever is being abused should get out of the home to a safe haven. And wherever that place is, and that there should be separation for a period of time. Now, who knows how long that time is? I don't know. That's between you and God. You need to be in His face seeking how long. You need to be in His face praying about uprooting people that's going to help bring. Let's say your mate is a, let's say. Let me think of something. Let's say that it was physical abuse, okay? Because that's the big one, right? Okay, let's say it's physical abuse. Now, physical abuse is not one of these two reasons, okay? So you get out the house, you find a safe haven. Now you need to be in prayer that God will uproot some folks that will speak to your abuser, to your spouse who's abusing you, in such a way that his heart is going to be tender and he's going to listen, because he ain't going to listen to you. And he may not listen to your friend. He may not even listen to your pastor or his or her pastor. Okay, this is where prayer comes in. You need to start, somebody out there, Lord, there's somebody out there I need you to rise up that will listen to my spouse so we can get back on track. Because if my spouse can't hear what your word needs to say, he or she is never going to get back on track. And if you don't get back on track, you're going to stay separated for the time that you're here on this earth. Now, there's another, I can go off the right with this, because there are certain states and certain laws that says that if you are married and you are split from each other for a certain amount of time, then you legally are divorced, okay? So I'm not trying to go down that block, because that'll turn into a third broadcast, okay? And I'm not trying to confuse folks, but that's where this ultimately could go with a lot of situations. You may be playing it out the way as though, well, I know the state that I live in says that if I don't live in the same roof and my name is not on the bills and such and such for a certain amount of years, and I'm just waiting for that time to pass so then I can be legally divorced. And you ain't fooling nobody, because God knows what you're doing. You're still going to have to answer. So do the right thing, okay? You need to be praying, and you need to be rock solid. Find yourself a safe haven, and you need to be rock solid and prayer to where as though the person of God's choice will be uprooted to tender the heart of the person who is abusing, to where as though communication can now break forth. Now, that communication has to be slow, it has to be tender, it has to be sensitive. This is like we did this broadcast on building trust, right? Building trust, right? For those of you who know about this, it was last year. Right, and we set out on a 30-part series on this rebuilding trust that was broken in relationships. Right, so this thing has to happen. It needs to take time. Okay, how much time? I don't know. You have to go into prayer about that. But the point is that here is the two, and they're only two. And there's sexual immorality, and there's abandonment by an unbeliever. Anything else, you sign a dotted line, is no good. There is no buts. There is no interpretation needed. Okay? Everybody knows what sexual immorality is, right? At least I hope you do. If you don't, inbox me. And I'll send you some stuff so you can read. Sexual immorality and abandonment by an unbeliever, okay? You married an unbeliever, you were equally yoked, and they ran out the door, and they never came back. Okay? So, we have, once again, folks on Facebook saying abuse is grounds for divorce. God granted me leaving and safety in a new area after verbal and emotional abuse. And people were going up and saying, well, God said that I can divorce for verbal and emotional, and this and that. I'm not believing that no more than the cow jumping over the moon. When people jump up and say, well, God told me I can divorce because of my physical abuse. Oh, he did? Okay. Well, where is it in his word? Because he's not going to send you revelation that's contrary to his word. Do you think that, like, you know, any of his children walking the face of this planet, like, you know, wisdom have just dropped out of our mind, and we don't know nothing no more? That we're going to believe something like that? Well, I don't care what you believe there. This is, well, you know, obviously, well, then this is, and let me tell you something. It's going to be just that. Folks are coming to the point in time where they're trying to convince you and me that God spoke to them and said this, that, and other thing. Where is it in the Word? If he's going to give you direct revelation regarding your divorce, then that is going to line up with the Word. You got to open up your mouth and tell somebody, oh, yeah, I am. He told me that I can divorce because of emotional abuse and physical abuse. Go to Genesis to Revelation and tell me where it says regarding the church. We are the church, the New Testament church, that we can divorce because of. Now, people are going to go, and this is why I started out this conversation about this Dr. Teora, because she's an Old Testament buff. Okay? We're talking about the church. We're not talking about Israel. We're talking about the dispensation of grace, not the dispensation of law. And then she, once again, if you're just coming into the broadcast, listen to it from the beginning when I put the archive up on Facebook. And then she goes on about the transliteration, and she even mentions that there's error in the Bible. So you know she don't know what she's talking about. Anybody want to go as far as to say that there's error in Scripture? Tons of folk on Facebook. Oh, I agree with you. God says divorce because of emotions, abuse. Oh, I agree with you because God said divorce because of psychological abuse. But nobody, not one, can give a verse, a passage, nowhere to in regards to the New Testament church and the dispensation that we're living about any of that. They just want to keep rattling on about what they say God... God ain't tell you nothing like that, because if it was, you would be able to find it in his word. And then you want to pawn it off on me and expect for me to believe that, and 1,000 other people on Facebook and online, you want to expect for them to believe that as well. I'm not saying I won't hear what you have to say. I love to hear what you have to say. But sure enough, I'm going to go and search it out. This topic right here, we don't need to go no further. Sexual immorality, Matthew 5, 32, 19, 9, and abandonment by an unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 7, 15. Those are the only two grounds for the church to divorce. somebody come up on your Facebook page or online and say, God told me this, God told me that, take them to Matthew 5, 19, chapter 5 and chapter 19, take them to 1 Corinthians 7. Can you prove to me any other reason regarding the church and the dispensation that we live in that God says outside of these two reasons, by his word, that you can, that you had grounds to divorce because of those reasons? I guarantee you they won't. Because there's only two. I said that, what, how many times already? Okay. Do I need to keep saying no? We have about 50 minutes left in the broadcast. Do I need to keep saying it for another 50 minutes? No. Anybody want to call in? Here's the number. 949-272-9514. 949-272-9514. A lot of us are tired of people online who say that they're Christian and they want to keep on telling us what God told them, but they can't back it up with the word. That should tell you something about these folk. I'm not saying that they're not truly saved. You can be saved, but, you know, nobody knows, none of us have a cornerstone on Scripture. But, I mean, come on. We're talking about something that, you know, this topic right here, we're talking about something that can be proven just by reading the chapters. According to the church and the dispensation that we live in, we're in grace, not law. We're the church. We're not Israel. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're living in the dispensation of grace, not the law. And we all know that the church was formed. We can all go to Acts, you know. We all know that the church began in the book of Acts. We all go to the book of Acts. Okay, so from the book of Acts, when the church started, we can read in the beginning of the book of Acts until Revelation. You're only going to find two reasons. If anybody jumps up on your page, if anybody jumps up in your face offline and says, this, that, and the other thing, let them blow their horn and blow their wind. The very next thing that should be coming out of your mouth is, from Acts to Revelation, prove it. Well, I'm going back to Moses, and this is the church. This is not Israel. We're in the dispensation of grace, not law. Well, God said back in Zechariah, you don't have to go back and forth. You may be, give the person the benefit of the doubt, you know, so you may ask them again, and you may even go for a third time. But you don't have to go back and forth, because ultimately the person wants to bring you down into a quarrel, into a dogmatic, you know, conversation about this, and eventually down the road, they're not going to wind up giving you Scripture, and you just wasted your time. So after like the second, third time you ask them, come on, you know, and they still just want to be dogmatic, you can pretty much, you know that conversation is not going nowhere. So if you didn't know before you listened to this broadcast, you know now. You may want to send this broadcast to somebody or somebodies. And, you know, there's people out there still listening to this broadcast, and they still are not going, they're still going to go running elsewhere. You know what? That's not your fight. As long as you know the truth, then you take that truth and you keep sharing that truth. And we're sharing this truth tonight regarding, does abuse mean divorce? No, it does not. Because it's not one of the two reasons for divorce. Now, if I were to change the title to, does abuse mean getting out? Does abuse mean get out? Does abuse mean get to a safe haven? Oh, yes, it does. Does abuse mean prayer? Yes, it does. Raise somebody up, Lord, so that they can talk to my husband or my wife who's tripping out on me and wanting to kill me physically. trying to kill my spirit too. So I try to say these things in very practical ways. I'm not using a lot of big words tonight. I wanted to have a, this is a kitchen, this is a broadcast, but this is going to be like, tonight was like a kitchen table type of talk broadcast. I'm not trying to, because folks want to, they want to be dogmatic. I already gave you an example how folks on Facebook want to use these big words and, graduated Harvard. And I'm, a pastoral counselor. And I'm Dr. This and this, that, and other. I gave you two good examples of these fools that came on and wrote on the Facebook event page regarding tonight's broadcast. You read it yourself. I'm not going to delete it. So I don't have to go down that route. Truly have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. It's like you got it. Okay, you keep on moving. Just keep on moving. All right. So those are two reasons. So I'm gonna take this call, and then we're gonna end this broadcast because there's nothing more to say about it. You're live on EYC Radio Network 517. And who's on?
My question would be is, if you're not being emotionally, spiritually, or you're not going through any type of abuse, but your spouse did leave you, abandon you, and is in an adulterous relationship, but God is telling you to stand for your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
like,
first, go ahead.
Only thing you can do is just do what God say do and not listen to what man say. Because if you're disobedient to what he's telling you to do, then you end up in more trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Or am I correct with that?
Well, let me take you back a little bit. First of all, I didn't hear your name, sister, where you're calling from. So if you could just share that with us, please.
I'd rather remain anonymous, if you don't mind.
Okay, not a problem, sister. Your question involved two or three different things going on. You talked about abandonment. You talked about immorality. So there's not like one answer I can give to that question, because that question, I don't know if you realize it, it is a very good question, because you actually put like two or three things in that one question. So let me just go back and answer it again, the way I've already given the answer according to Scripture. There are only two reasons for divorce: sexual immorality and abandonment by an unbeliever. I believe unless I grossly misheard your question, your question entailed both of those things. So, but you didn't mention whether the abandonment was by a believer or a Christian, and I don't want to assume. So, if you can let us know that, then we can go from there.
Well, he believes in God. We used to go to church together from time to time, and my family has a prayer line. He used to get on the prayer line with me, and he will pray. There's been a few times here recently that he's called me and asked me to pray for him. He's even told me that there was one point as to where it was in the middle of a storm, and he said the bed shook so hard he thought it was God telling him this ain't where he's supposed to be yet. He need to go home to his wife. It had him so scared he wouldn't even get up and go to the bathroom. But do he go to church now? No. Is he still a believer? I don't know, because he's in the world, things of the world.
Okay, so if you can't testify as to whether he's a believer or not, then let's go back to God's Word. So God's Word says that one of the reasons for, or one of the grounds for divorce, is for abandonment or by abandonment of an unbeliever. So if he is an unbeliever and he abandons a marriage, then that's one of the reasons or grounds that you can, if you were married to him or whatever the situation is, that you would, in God's eyes, be cleared for divorce. Now, remember, I don't know how far you came into the broadcast, but I started out with Malachi 2:16, where God says, the Lord God says, He hates divorce. And I also stated that whatever grounds the Bible possibly gives for divorce, that does not mean that God desires a divorce to occur. So let's take it down the block a little bit more. Just because God gives these two reasons for divorce, and you have grounds based off of one of these two reasons, if not both, to divorce, still does not mean that God wants divorce to occur. Are you following me? See, because the greater Christian in you, now this is where it gets real tough for the Christian, okay? The greater Christian in you would say, my spouse cheated on me, okay, committed adultery, so I have reason to divorce him because sexual immorality, according to Matthew 5:32 or 19:9, you can stand on that in Scripture and say, God says that I have a reason to divorce him. But the greater Christian in you, would say, even though I have the right, the God-given right, according to, and I'm standing on his word, Matthew 5, of sexual immorality, to divorce my spouse, I'm not. Because I'm going to use all of what God has given me to help turn my spouse back to a state of commitment, sexual commitment in this marriage, and loyalty in this marriage. See, that's the greater Christian. And that's, I don't hear a lot of that going on. What I hear a lot of is something outside of sexual morality and abandonment of an unbeliever. And then I hear a little bit of, okay, it's sexual immorality or abandonment of an unbeliever. And then I hear almost nothing of, well, my spouse did one or both of these things, but I'm going to stay and heighten up my standards of Christianity, of character, of integrity, of all those things that God gives me to fight warfare that we talk about, that we fight from day to day in our relationships. And I'm going to, it's almost like trying to convert your spouse back to purity in the marriage. See, that's the greater Christian. And then that's where God is talking about, well, just because you have grounds to divorce does not mean that I desire for you to. In other words, he's saying, listen, you can walk out based on my word because of what your spouse did, which is either sexual immorality or abandonment of an unbeliever, but how much great is it that you use what I give you to convert your spouse back to sexual purity, loyalty, maturity in that marriage, and then it never happens again. Now who's getting the glory then? God. Who's getting the glory for you walking out, you? Even though you have grounds to walk out, you're still walking out with some glory. Yo.
That's a hard one.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. I know that, sister.
I mean, when,
I knew that.
You know, you got the spouse's family who all say they're Christians and believers. Sitting up at the card table, drinking and smoking and cussing and carrying on and doing everything of the world. But still, you know, I'm not judging.
Yeah.
That's what I saw. You know, but then they pushing the two to be together. It's like, if you're going to push him to be with her, then you push him down there to that courthouse and tell him to file the papers and do it the right way.
Well, you know, you know, God speaks about how Christians shouldn't take each other to court either. You know, I understand there are times that happens, but just like in this situation, you may have reason to divorce, but God says, hey, wouldn't a greater reason be to, you know, stick it in and try to work it out with, you know, get, I'm just using my own words here now, you know, just because his desire is not for divorce. Yeah. So just like in the courts, you know, God doesn't want Christians, God talks about in his word, Christians should not take other Christians to court. Why should we go before a worldly judge when we have been given instructions from heaven to handle these matters ourselves? Yeah, even though we may have the legal authority, the worldly authority, to go before the court and file for that restraining order and whatever, use what God has given you, and this is why I talked about prayer and praying God to raise people up that will tender the heart of your abuser and to the point, you know, and that takes time. People don't want to take time in relationships no more. And they don't want to take time and rebuilding marriage anymore. It's we're in a society where even Christians are affected dramatically about this instant reflux of relationships. You know, you get acid indigestion, you take a pill. It's instant. It's done. The upset stomach is done. The upset relationship is done. All I got to do is divorce you or take you to court. It's done. But that is not the desire of God.
Right. I understand that part. But what I'm saying is, with the family issue, if your family is going to encourage you to be with this other person, why not encourage you to do the right thing, divorce your spouse and marry that person instead of condemning both of y'all to hell for the
well,
sexual
sin that you're in? Sister, you're going down a block that is off the topic of this broadcast. We're talking about the reasons for divorce, and that's where we're going to stay. Okay, so there we have it. We have the two reasons for divorce. They're biblical. Whether you sow the truth into your heart or to your life, I don't know what your situation is. It's my first time talking to you. Sister, I love you for calling in. You know, this dialogue is needed. But there are going to be two sides to the story in everyone's life who has said, I do, and has experienced very bad things in their marriage, and now they're considering a divorce, or they have gotten divorced, and they are Christian. And that question is going to be, did I do it per God's word? And then if you can say yes, again, have I asked myself the greater question, because his desire is not divorce? Did I do all that I, you know, could possibly do, you know, to try to convert my spouse with others? Here you go, my family, pastor, church, and other people, to convert my spouse back to a loyalty which represents freedom in a marriage from a point of sexual maturity and non-infidelity and so on down the block. So this is where this broadcast stands at regarding these things that are spoken of right now. Abuse, divorce, God's desire, our right, and even in the face of our right, is it still something that God wants us to do down the road? These are the things that this broadcast stands on tonight. So, God bless you, sister, and you know, I pray that your relationships are equally yoked in Christ. Thanks for calling in. All right, folks, we're done. I'm Darren Chapman. God bless you, and take what you need from this broadcast. Plant the seeds into your relationships to keep them together. EYIC, equally yoked in Christ. And if you're listening to this broadcast right now and you're on the verge of divorce and your spouse has not committed one of these two things that we've talked about, you still may need to get out. You still may need to be, you know, separated for a season or even seasons. You know, that's between you and God. But if you're ready to run down to the courthouse because of your spouse, you know, and the lawyers are calling you or you're talking to you, and they know you got the money to pay, just sign the dotted line. Get it over with now. You know, why are you listening to that radio broadcast? Why are you listening to that preacher? Why are you listening? You know, this is one life. Well, this is not your life. You're a Christian. You gave your life up. So now what are you going to do? You're going to believe the worldly court and the worldly lawyers trying to convince you that you'll have peace? Oh, you'll have temporary peace, but you're going to be judged for that peace if it's not a peace that came about by a decision that you made according to God's word. And if your spouse did not commit one or the other of these two that we spoke about tonight, sexual immorality or abandonment of a spouse, abandonment of by an unbeliever, and that's in Matthew 5 for sexual immorality and abandonment by an unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 7:15. If your spouse did not commit one of those two, then you not legally, but you, by the word of God, you scripturally, you have no right to divorce. I don't care how bad the situation is, and I do care, but I say it like that because many of us I said this in the beginning of the broadcast, and this is why I keep going over this, and I keep going over it, and I keep going over it, because the more I keep going over it, seems like the more people just keep missing it. But you know why they keep missing it? Because they're stuck on situations and circumstances and their feelings, and they can't get to these two verses that I'm still trying to bring out tonight, I'm still talking about. And I said, what did I say? A couple minutes ago, you know, do I need to keep talking about this for 40 minutes? Well, it's worthy to keep talking about it until 10 o'clock and even after. And it's not as though I want to sound redundant, but there's people out there that they're so caught up in emotions and circumstances and situations. They lost a lot of money and financial abuse, and now they're out the door. They were dependent on their riches. And these are not any of the two reasons. So therefore, divorce should not be in your mindset as a Christian. And you're telling people how you lean on God's word and you lean on his understanding. Well, how come you're not leaning on this understanding? There's no interpretation needed. What's the problem that you can't lean on these two verses? You got so much hate for your spouse for abuse. You got so much anger for you. You wish them dead. Well, then you need to start repenting. Don't let your sins grow bigger than the act of violence that your spouse put on you. So these two verses, make sure these two verses safeguard you, really, in making sure that you don't make a decision of divorce illegitimately outside of these two reasons. Scripture protects us and safeguards us. So once again, as I said in the beginning of the broadcast, you know, some people are just not going to get this because they're just not there yet. But there are people that can listen to this broadcast and they're there. They have gotten it tonight. They've gotten it. And they're ready to back off. You know, they're ready to put the lawyer's business card down. They're ready to back away from that phone. They're ready to back away from going to the bank and pulling out that money and paying for that divorce and getting it finalized. They're ready because they've heard the message of truth regarding abuse and divorce tonight. And they say, you know what, I know my spouse almost beat me dead, but what's better? What's better? Death or rebellion against God's word? What's better? That's a hard pill for even a lot of Christians to swallow, right? Well, there now you're telling me that I'm supposed to just let my spouse beat me to death because I'm a Christian, but that's not what I'm saying. Because I've already stated that if you need to get out, get out. If you need to separate, separate and find space. But what I'm saying is that outside of these two reasons, there is no reason for you to be contacting an attorney talking about you're going to give up, you know, a couple hundred, a couple thousand dollars to file a divorce decree. You're a Christian. You have the word, and here is the word saying to you, these are the only two reasons. Work it out. Separate. Do what you got to do. Stay in prayer. But divorce, no. Not one of these two, no. Well, you know what, I got myself into a mess, and you may have gotten yourself into a big mess by marrying somebody that you wasn't supposed to be marrying. But guess what? That still does not change the word of God now that you're in that situation. Get out, separate, get into a safe haven, stay in prayer, stay around people, accountable partners, people that can, you know, day and night just, you know, be there for you and, you know, and keep trying to pull, well, not pull, but, you know, keep trying to you know, have people that believe that God's going to raise up people that's going to once again tender the heart of your abuser and your spouse, and that you can come together with other people in the same room and slowly but surely chip away at the things that led up to this situation and get back into being equally yoked. And that may take for some days, some months, some years. You know, every situation is case specific. There we have it. All right. That's it.
Knowledge, ask God, will I need you? I believe without doubt, but some are blown and tossed, spiritually dead in the world that they walk in. Your people perish for what they don't know. The blind lead the blind, and it troubles my soul. The command you gave, love one another as you love me. I love my sisters and brothers. The cross that I bear is to honor your name, to let your will be done until my dying day. There's a love in me that comes from you. I was pricked in the heart, the spirit of truth. I obey your command as an offering of love. You show yourself to me and I thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost power is what I receive, so I store up your word for the time of need. That's blessed with twins, no home to raise them, no income coming in, a life of sin, no quality friends, no family dynamic, no support system. It's a generational curse. I call out the demon, I call it out of my home in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of them boys, I'll keep them in prayer. I cast burden on you, Lord, and I'm leaving it there. Have a go to work on us fathers, the good, the bad, the absentee, and the ones that don't bother. Let your will be done, that we raise our sons and nurture our daughters the way that you want us, without irritation or provoking their anger, but patiently a perfect work. I rebuke the hater, the family and church where the devil's at play. I lay axe to the roof to cut the head off the snake. Give us, we all have sin. Lord, we need you. Where to begin? We worship what we don't know, forsaken as an idol, God's chosen, held liable. Instructions in the Bible, but who wants to read? It says to get an understanding. Without faith, you don't believe. And God's not pleased. You reap what you sow. Sparingly you sow, you reap accordingly. I seek first the Lord's righteousness. I ask him to see from God that I might glorify him. I'm on my knees, calling on Jesus. I'm a believer, anointed to speak up, full of his word and Holy Ghost power. When I'm weak in my ways, I bathe in scriptural showers. Man cannot live by bread alone, but for every word of God, that's what I'm studying for.
I pray for you, that's what I'm gonna do.